have your Bible, turn with me, please, to the book of Philippians. And I trust these verses will be a real blessing this afternoon. While you're turning, I do want to say it's a real joy to be back in the house of God this afternoon. And I pray God will help us and speak to our hearts today and give us that we need this afternoon in the service. I want to say again, thank you so much to the pastor and church for allowing my wife and I to come today. And I have enjoyed being here, and I appreciate the good day God has given us today. Sure do miss the preacher and his family, and of course miss a lot of the people, but it is a real joy to be here. And I promise you, we're praying for you, preacher, and I'm praying that God will touch you, and you'll soon get over the sickness, and everything will be fine, and I know he will. Give you a good verse of scripture this afternoon to hang on to. It's found more than 250 times in the Word of God. And here's what it says. And it came to pass. Amen. It's going to come to pass. I'll promise you that. And so I want to encourage you this afternoon. Just look to the Lord. And again, I want to say thank you so very, very much for allowing us to come today and be with you. I hate the Jubilee got put off. But I know God is in control. He knows where we're at. He knows what we need and when we need it. So we'll just trust Him. But again, thank you so much for letting us come. And we sure are praying for you today. In Philippians chapter number 3, I want to read some verses this afternoon. And I'm only going to read two verses, but I want to encourage you. If you have your Bible there, you keep your Bible open, because I'm going to look at some of the other verses in the chapter as we read today. Before I read, let me have a word of prayer with you. Then I want to make just a few comments about the book of Philippians. Father, I pray you'll help us this afternoon. I realize without you, we're nothing today. And I realize if you don't touch me this afternoon, my standing here would all be in vain. So I pray the Spirit of God, Lord, will take the Word of God and work our hearts this evening. You know who will be here in the service and seeing the service. And I pray, God, you'll move in a special way. May the power of God change lives. And may our Father, you be honored through the preaching of the Word of God this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll read in just a minute. I just want to say a word or two about the book of Philippians before I read this evening. Sometime before the first of the year, and I realize we're now halfway in the month of January, but sometime before the first of the year, God began to work in my heart afresh and anew about these verses here that I'm getting ready to read. Of course, they're not new verses. I'm sure Pastor McDaniels probably has preached on them even in recent days because, man, they're great verses to preach on when you have the beginning of a new year. But God began to work in my heart about the book of Philippians, and I began to study about it. In the book of Philippians, you'll find that it could be outlined this way. In chapter number 1, you have the philosophy for Christian living. Paul says in chapter 1 and verse number 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That is a pretty good philosophy to live by. In chapter number 2, if you'll study, you'll find the pattern for Christian living. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." That is a pretty good pattern to live by. You have the pattern for Christian living. In chapter number 3, you have the prize. And I'm going to say something about that in the message this afternoon. The prize for Christian living. Paul said, "I press towards a mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You have the prize there for Christian living. But in chapter number 4, if you'll study, you'll find we have the power for Christian living. Paul said in chapter 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me," and how true that is today. But I want to zero in this afternoon in chapter number 3, and I want you to notice some very familiar verses here. Found in chapter 3, verse 13 and verse 14. Again, I encourage you to keep your Bible open and follow us today, or this afternoon as we preach, because I'm going to look at some other verses also in the book of Philippians. Paul says in verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." He said, "I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I want to take these two verses this afternoon and preach a few minutes on this thought today. Foresight for the future. Looking back, foresight for the future. And I'm not going to dwell on 2020 other than just say this. When I look back at 2020 and look at the year that we've just come through, man, I want to say what a year. What a year it was. And I'm sure many of you would say the very same thing. 2020 was a trying time. 2020 was a rough year in a lot of ways. And you know, I'm 68 years old, and I was saying about this morning. Down through the years, I've seen a lot of things happen in different years. I remember in 1963, I remember the President Kennedy getting shot. I remember that day very well, 1963. 1966 and 1973, we had, and that was a tough year. Those was tough years. That was during the years of the Vietnam War, and I remember that very well. And had not been for President Nixon changing the draft to lottery, I probably would have got involved in that. 66 to 73, I remember those years very well. I remember the 70s when the gas crisis got so bad that you'd line up for gas, and gas went over $5 a gallon. I remember that. I remember the 80s when we was introduced to the thing called AIDS, and what a terrible time that was. Many thought that the whole world was going to die during that time. I remember the 90s when the stock market fell, and what a terrible time that was. I remember 9/11 2001, what a day that was when our trade centers in New York City was attacked. But you know, when I think about 2020, what a year that was. What a year that was. And I'm not going to dwell on that, but I just want to say this afternoon. I want to say, in spite of all that we went through, in spite of all the trials and the hardships and the death, and in spite of everything that we went through, I want to say, praise the Lord, it was still a good year. I look back over 2020, and I want to say, thank God for every soul that was saved. Thank God for everything that He done. It was a good year as far as I'm concerned. And I appreciate 2020. But when you think about the new year, and of course, again, we're well into the new year now. I like New Year's. I like New Year's. You start off by getting a fresh start. We get our priorities in place. We get our direction, how we're going to go this next year. And I like New Year's. I surely do. And when you come to these verses that I read here today, foresight for the future. Looking back at last year, what I can learn from that will help me this next year. When we reflect back, and the word reflect simply means to think carefully. It means to think deeply about something. And when I reflect back, I say to myself, what can I learn from last year? And foresight for the future. You look back and you learn from that. So I want to give you two or three things real quick this afternoon. How these verses here that the Apostle Paul is reflecting back on. Paul is looking back, and he's not only looking back. In these verses today, he's looking forward. He looked back and things he could learn from that he looked back. But thank God he's also looking forward, and we'll see that in the text today. First of all, out of this text today, you'll find the Apostle Paul is reflecting on his profession. He's reflecting on his profession of faith. I'm going to show you that in just a minute, but let me just say this. Paul was one of the greatest grace preachers that's ever been. The Apostle Paul realized that salvation was not merited by good works or anything that we had done. Paul realized it was by the good grace of God that he was saved. And I want to say to you this afternoon, that's the only way anybody is saved today. It's by the good grace of God. It's not by our works. It's not what we've done or what we've not done. But thank God it's what he's already done. If you go back in chapter 3 and look, you'll find the Apostle Paul makes this statement there. He said, if you want to brag about good works, he said, let's talk about them. Because he says in verse number 4, if you want to glory in the flesh, Paul said, I more. Look at verse number 5. He said, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and it's touching the law, a Pharisee. When you study about that, you'll find that he was almost blameless. Look at the next verse. He said, concerning zeal, he persecuted the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. That is an awesome statement today. Blameless. He lived up to it, Paul said. But then he goes on down and he says in verse 7, but what things I gained, those I counted loss. I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, my Lord. For what? For
for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but done, that I might win Christ. You know what he's saying? He's saying every bit of that was in vain. None of that saved me. Keeping the law, doing good, a Pharisee of the Pharisee, circumcised and all that. Paul is saying none of that was of any effect at all. He said, I count all that but done. And that just simply means that you throw to the dog. Then he goes on down in verse number 9 and says this, it's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by putting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll say to you this afternoon, I'm not going to dwell on this first point because I want to go somewhere with this text, but I want to say this to you today. Paul's reflecting back on his profession. And Paul is realizing it wasn't by good works. It wasn't by what he could do or what he couldn't do. But thank God it's by the grace of God. And I want to say this to you this afternoon. I like that today. You know why? Because that puts every man on the same level. It's not anything that you do or don't do, but thank God it's what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. I was raised in a pastor's home. I was raised in a preacher's home, but you know what? That did not save me. That did not help me. I had to come to God as a bankrupt sinner, realizing I was lost without Christ, and asked him to come into my heart. So I'll say, first of all, in this text today, Paul is reflecting back here on his profession. But then don't you notice something else in our text today? Paul is not only reflecting back on his profession, Paul's reflecting back on his purpose. And notice in your Bible, again in verse number 10, Paul says in verse number 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, be it made conformable unto his death. Paul's not only reflecting back on his profession, but Paul's reflecting back on his purpose. And his purpose was that I might know him. That I may know him. And may I say this to you today? That ought to be our purpose today. Thank God that we may know him. You know, I got thinking about this, how the Apostle Paul at this point in his life had been saved more than 30 years. And matter of fact, it wasn't too long after this how the Apostle Paul was beheaded. And I got thinking about it. He said after being saved 30 years that I may know him. How Paul's purpose was how that he may know him. And I want to say this to you this afternoon. Hey, that I might know him today. You know, I've been saved a long time. Matter of fact, I've been saved over 50 years now. And you know what? I have more of a desire. Hey, I have more of a desire in my soul to know him this afternoon than ever before. Now I'm saved. I'm not talking about being saved. I'm talking about knowing him in a personal way. I'm talking about communion with him. Hey, I'm talking about fellowshipping with him. I'm talking about knowing him in a personal way. How Paul is reflecting back on his purpose that he may know him in a personal way. Now, I want to ask you a question today. What does Jesus mean to you? Is he real to you? Or is he just something you think about on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? I want to say hallelujah, he's real. I want to say praise the Lord, he's real in my heart. I want to say he lives in my soul, and he's personal to me this morning or this afternoon. And I want to say to you this evening, Paul's purpose was that I may know that I may know him, amen, even in a greater way. I've been reading the book of Samuel in these recent days. And you know what the Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse number 14? The Bible said that David was a man after God's own heart. The Bible also said in Acts chapter 13 verse 22 how that David was a man after God's own heart. May I say this to you today? David had a desire to know more about God. You study the Psalms and I study about David there in Samuel. You'll find that David had a deep desire to know more about him. And may I say this to you this afternoon? How we ought to reflect back on our purpose. And our purpose is simply how that we may know him. How that we may know him today. I want to say this to you today. Again, I've been saved a long time, but I got more of a desire this afternoon to get closer to him, to know him in a greater way, to know him in a personal way. And let me just say this. To know somebody, you got to spend time with them. Yeah, if you'll spend time with them, you'll learn about them. And my wife and I have just celebrated 50 years of marriage. 31st of December, we've been married 50 years. And I would say after being married to her 50 years, I know her today. And most of the time I can tell you what she's thinking. And she probably can tell you what I'm thinking most of the time. You know why? Because we spend time together. And I want to say this to you today. If you're going to know him, you got to spend time with him. Hey, you want to know him? Spend time with him. Hey, you want to know him? Spend time with him. Hey, you want to know him today? Read about him. Study about him. Read about him. Study about him. Bible says, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. I'll say this to you today. Paul's reflecting on his purpose here. And as we go through this next year and this year that we're in, hey, our desire ought to be to know him and to know him in a more personal way. Paul is simply reflecting back on his purpose. I'll just say this today. I have many characters in the Bible that I love studying about. But probably in the New Testament other than the Lord Jesus, or the Apostle John, I love John the Beloved. If you look in John chapter 13, don't turn, but in John chapter 13, at that Last Supper, you'll find John laying his head over on the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John was close to the Lord. Hey, John knew the Lord, and John, I was close to the Lord. The Bible talks about how he laid his head over on the bosom of our Lord. And you know, I got to think about that. Man, you got to be pretty close to hear the heartbeat. To hear the heartbeat. You know, five times in the New Testament, that disciple whom I love, that disciple whom I love. You know why it said that? It said that simply because of John's relationship, how close John was to him. And I'll say this to you this afternoon. Hey, reflecting back on our purpose, how that we may know him this evening and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. You know that verse says this, and look at the verse. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship, we don't like this part, of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Can I tell you something today? The only way that you're going to really know him is be conformable to his death. And when you die out to self and have that resurrected life in the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, you can know him. I want to say in passion this afternoon, my desire is to know him. My desire is to walk with him. My desire is to fellowship with him. My desire is to know more about him this next year. Let me ask you a quick question. Do you have that place in your life on a daily basis that you walk with him and you fellowship with him? Do you have that place that you go to? My private place, most of the time I have a nice altar in my office. I pray there quite often, but I probably pray in my basement more than anywhere in the world. I'll get down, everything is shut out. And that man alive, I've got prayer requests tagged up on the wall that I pray for. And I will tell you what a sweet time it is. What a joy. What a sweet time it is. How to commune with him. Paul said that I may know him. You know, down through the years of 40 years of pastoring churches and all these years now in evangelism, you know what I found out down through the years? You can't make Baptists do anything. I mean, you might try. You can't make them do anything. I found out a long time ago you can't drive sheep, you have to lead them. And here's what I started to say. I take care of most of the problems in our church if we can just get folk to love him, if we can get folk to fellowship with him. I like what the Bible said in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. And Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him. Hey, can I tell you something today? Enoch pleased the Lord because he walked with the Lord. And I'll say this to you this afternoon before I go to my next point. Our purpose ought to be that we may know him. I want to ask you a real quick question. Do you know him? I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about do you know him? I'm not talking about getting saved. I'm talking about do you know him? I know him as Savior. Sure I do. But I'll tell you, I love knowing him personal. I love getting close to him. And again, when John laid his head over on the bosom of the Lord, he heard the very heart throb and the very heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say to you as a church this afternoon, that ought to be our desire this next year. Thank God. And we'll know him in a more personal way. Well, I got to get done. I'll say, first of all, Paul was reflecting back on his profession. It's by grace. Paul was reflecting back on his purpose. that we may know him. And I'll tell you, the secret to the holy life is knowing him, is knowing him. But then I want to say, thirdly, out of this text this afternoon, not only Paul's reflecting back on his profession, Paul's reflecting back on his purpose, but you know, Paul was reflecting back on his past. Notice again in verse number 12. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. That word simply means, apprehend means to arrive. It means he's arrived, he's there. And I want to say this. Boy, I don't know that I'd have said that about Paul. Paul said, I've not yet arrived. I'll tell you what. He was real close. He walked with God. But anyhow, look at the verse. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I want to say Paul was reflecting on his past. And what he was saying was, I'm going to put all that behind me. I'm not going to let that bother me. I'm not going to let that burden me down. Hey, I'm going to put it all behind me. And can I just say this to you this afternoon? Well, if there's ever been a day we ought to put the past behind us, it's right now. Many people live in what happened this past year. And again, I'm not downplaying that by any means. A lot of terrible things. People died, sickness and all that. I wound up in the hospital myself for 8 days. But I want to say this afternoon. We'll put all that behind us. And Paul is reflecting on his past. Paul is saying, forgetting all that. I put all that behind us, all the burdens, all the hardship, all the failures, all the trouble. And I want to say this afternoon. There's a lot of people. They let the devil rob them of their present victory because what happened yesterday. And I want to say this to you this afternoon. You got to put that behind you, man. It doesn't matter what happened. You got to put all that behind you. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Boy, I think about down through the years, pastoring. It's not always pleasant. There's problems. There's trials. There's hardships. I remember in the 70s when I was pastoring, some things that happened at my first church. And, I got to put all that behind me and press on for the glory of God. And I want to say to you this afternoon, if you want victory this next year, hey, I'll tell you what, Paul's reflecting back on his past. Paul said, I'm forgetting all that. All those troubles, all those failures. You know, some of you hear me preach this afternoon. You probably had shattered dreams in 2020. You probably had unreached goals. And 2020, you probably have made some bad mistakes in 2020. You probably have some bad memories of 2020. But can I tell you this afternoon? Put it behind you. Hey, man, get over it. Put it behind you. Go on for the glory of God. You'll say, preach, I made some terrible mistakes in 2020. I made some blunders. I made some failures during the year of 2020. By the way, can I just say this today? There are only two groups of people in this world that make mistakes. That's hypocrites and dead people. Amen. They don't make mistakes, but all the rest of us do. And I want to say this to you this afternoon. We got to put all that behind us. Paul said, forgetting the past, man. Reflecting back on it and forgetting the past. You know what a lot of people do? They wallow in their self-pity. They think about, oh, what a failure, what a mess I made. And you know what the devil does? He is a master at bringing up your past. He's a master at bringing up mistakes and failures and hardship. I'll say this to you this afternoon. Get up, child of God. Hey, don't wallow in your mistakes and don't wallow in your failures. Hey, get up and go on for the glory of God. Paul's reflecting on his past. I like what the Bible said in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. A just man falleth down 7 times and riseth up again. I want to say to you, you may have failed during this past year. But I want to say, get up, friend. Hey, go on for the glory of God. Get up. Somebody put it like this. He said, get up, shake it off, leave it behind, and go home. And I'll say to you, child of God, listen to me. Get up, shake it off, and go on for the glory of God. Down through the years, I visited and knocked on doors. And quite often, when I knock on a door, I'll say, my name is so-and-so. We go to so-and-so church. We want to invite you to church. And I hear this quite often. We don't do church no more. We don't go to church no more. And most of the time I'll make a mistake by saying why. And they'll tell you if you ask them. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, 30 years ago, Sister Wigglejaws down at the Crooked Creek Baptist Church. She done this or he done that or he said this or they done that. And, you know, we just don't go to church no more. Can I tell you something this morning or this afternoon? Get up. Hey, shake it off. Go on for the glory of God. Hey, listen, if you live for God, somebody's going to hurt your feelings. Y'all get what I just said? I said if you live for God, somebody's going to hurt your feelings. But I want to say this to you today. We're blessed. I've never been whipped. I've never been crucified. Hey, I've never been thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. So I feel like I'm pretty blessed today. Hey, listen to me, Paul. Foresight for the future. Paul has said, I forget about the past, man. I get up and go on for the glory of God. How many times have I went home from preaching the word of God and well, felt like I made a complete flop. Felt like I made a complete failure. Boy, I want to tell you, I'd go to bed that night, and guess what? The booger man would get in the bed with me. And I'm not talking about my wife either. I'm talking about the booger man. And he'd say, boy, you made a mistake today. Boy, I'll tell you what, that was one more mess that you made today. Well, they ought to vault you out of your church. Hey, I ought not never have you back revival. Anybody make such a mess as that? And you know what? You go to listen to him, and you know what he'll do? He'll convince you. Hey, listen to me this afternoon. Shake it off. Lay it aside. Pick up. Go on for the glory of God. Paul is simply reflecting back on his past. Forget about it. It's gone. There's nothing you can do about it anyhow. It's all gone. And forget about it and go on for the glory of God. You know, past feelings will absolutely kill you in the ministry. Past feelings will kill you in your Christianity. And you got to put all that off. You got to put all that aside. You know, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, wherefore sin we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. Let us lay aside, like this right here, lay aside the weight that does so easily beset us. You know, many times it's not a sin, but it's a weight. And many times our weights are our feelings. And it causes us to not be at our full potential for God. I want to say to you this afternoon, put it off, friend. And I want to say I'm probably preaching to somebody this afternoon how you need to lay some things aside from 2020. You can't water in that. You can't live in that. Lay it aside. Press on for the glory of God. I close with this thought. Paul is reflecting back. And I love the text. Paul's reflecting back on his profession. He was saved by grace. Paul is reflecting back on his purpose, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection. Paul is reflecting back on his past. Paul said, forgetting the past. But don't you note in verse 14 in closing, Paul is reflecting on his potential. Look at verse number 14. Paul said, I press. Well, look at verse 13. Brother, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. I get this part. And reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul didn't only reflect back on his profession. He reflected back on his purpose. He reflected back on his past. But in the latter part of verse 13, verse 14, Paul is reflecting on his potential. He says in that verse, reaching forth, going forth, he says also in verse 14, I press towards the mark. I work, I press at it, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is looking at his potential. He said, I press on. There's a finish line, there's a prize, there's a reward just down the road. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to press on. He was reflecting on his potential. And I want to say this to you today, how that word potential simply means development, it means growth, it means mature. It means full success. And I'll say to you this afternoon, that's what we need to think about. Paul is reflecting on his potential. Are you your very best for God? Are you giving him your very best this afternoon? And I want to say this to you today. Paul said, I press towards that. I work towards that. I press towards that. Verse 14 has a word in it that Baptists don't like. And here it is. Paul said, I press. That word press is an interesting word. It means to labor. It means to toil. It means to work at it. Paul said, if I'm going to be at my best for God and reflect on my potential, I'm going to have to press on. I'm going to have to work at it. I'm going to have to labor. Now, I'm not talking about salvation.
I'm talking about being mature in the Lord. I'm talking about being your best for God. And Paul is simply saying this text this afternoon, I press towards that mark. You know, if you study your Bible, you'll find the New Testament. There were three different sports that they played in the New Testament, and Paul preached about every one of them. First of all, Paul talks about wrestling. He said, I buff, in 1 Corinthians, I buff my old flesh. That simply means swelling under the eye. It has to do with boxing. I buff my flesh. Then Paul talks about in the book of Ephesians, he talks about how that we wrestle. I guess flesh and blood, it talks about a wrestler. But here in our text here, it's talking about a runner. And Paul said, I press towards that mark. There's a prize and there's a finish line. And listen to me this afternoon. Our full potential, we got to press on. We got to work at it. Matter of fact, if you study about those athletes, those three Greek games they had in that day, you'll find those athletes, what they would do, they would prepare many times, they would prepare 10 months just for one activity, 10 months just for one activity. And they would press. They would work at it. They would toil at it, like going into a gym and working and running and lifting weights and so on and so forth. Paul said, I press towards, and notice why in verse 14, I press towards the mark. There's a finish line. There's a goal that's under. And may I say to you, a runner and the runner, what he's got in mind right here. They don't look back. They don't give up. They don't give in. And thank God they don't give out. How they know there's a mark, there's a finish line. And I want to say this to you this afternoon. There is. This thing's just about over. I believe with all my heart we're living in the last days of the last days of the last days. And the coming of Christ is at hand, I'll promise you. And I'll say, child of God, press on. I give you the best. Hey, have full potential for the glory of God. There is a mark. There is a finish line out yonder. And by the way, I don't know when it is. I don't know when I'm going to die, and I don't know when the Lord's coming. But I do know this afternoon. There is a finish line. Look at the verse, and I'm done. I press towards the mark. Why, Paul? For the prize. For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what he's saying? There's not only a finish line, but there's a prize. And I'll say, child of God, hallelujah, there's going to be a payday. Every gospel tract you've ever given out, every door you've ever knocked on, every soul you've ever led to Christ, every prayer you've ever prayed, every burden you've ever carried, thank God, there'll be a payday. There's a price just around the next corner, just over the next hill, just through the next valley. Thank God there's a rewarding day. And I want to say this in closing. Hey, there's a prize waiting on you, child of God. And the verse says, I press towards your mark for the prize of the high calling. The high calling. A lot of people have the idea that's just talking to preachers. But that's not just talking to preachers. That's talking to everybody. The high calling. You see, you and I are saved by the grace of God. We have a high calling. We've been called from sin to salvation. How we've been called from death to life. Hey, we've been called from weakness to power. Hey, we've been called from strangers to the family of God. Hey, we've been called, thank God, from wondering to witnessing. And I want to say to you today, press on, child of God. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't give out. Just keep on keeping on. Paul here, foresight for the future. Paul's looking back. Foresight for the future. Paul reflected on his profession. Paul reflected on his purpose. Paul reflected on his past, and Paul reflected on his potential. I want to say, if you're giving anything less than your best to the cause of Christ, you're missing it, friend. Give him the best, because this thing will soon be over. I've quoted this a million times, and I'll say it again this afternoon. There's just one life. And boy, how reminded I am of that this afternoon. There's just one life. That life will soon be passed, and all that's done for Christ is going to last. I say this in closing. If you hear me this afternoon, you don't know Christ as your Savior. It'd be a wonderful, wonderful day right now, wherever you may be at, to bow there, realize you're a sinner, realize you're lost without Christ, realizing Christ paid the sin debt that you could be saved. He died, was buried, and resurrected the third day. Then call on Him, ask Him to save you. If you're not saved, I would encourage you to do that this afternoon. Hey, if you're not serving, you're not surrendered this afternoon, hey, take these verses to heart. Paul said, brother, and I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm going to forget all that past. And I'm going to press on for the glory of God. I don't think I've ever had more of a desire. After being saved almost 51 years, I don't think I have ever had a more of a desire to press on and do something for God and be counted for God in this day than I have right now. And I want to be. God bless you, church. God bless you, Pastor. I'm praying for you. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for this good day you've given us here at Currytown. I pray you'll take our thoughts. And I pray, Lord, you'll use them, not my thoughts, but your thoughts, and use them for the glory of God. Most of all, if there's somebody hearing us this afternoon that's not saved, this will be the day they'll get saved. If there's somebody hearing us this afternoon that's maybe hung up on the past, just can't get over what happened, God, I pray they'll put it all behind them and realize there's a great potential line ahead, and may they go to it and try to do it for the glory of God in Jesus' name. Amen.